last talk of this session is by Matteo Feller, and the title is Internally Connected Graphs and the KVV Algebra.
I'm sorry to keep you away from the lecture for another few minutes. So the motivation for this work stems from the work of Anton and Charles Audition. And as you have seen many times during this seminar, they proved that the V-algebra GRT injects into the Cauchy-Gallardelli algebra, and I will draw a hand usually, as in Anton's paper. And the aim of our work is to construct a sequence of E algebras, E subalgebras of KRV, which sits between the two.
Can you make it smaller?
Algebras like this, which will sit between the two. And we'll try to do this using graphs. And so first of all, I have to give you the definition of the graphs I will be working with. And we've seen some of them today from this lecture. So for me, an admissible graph would be of the following form. So there would be two types of vertices labeled by 1 to n, so these would be the external vertices if you want. And possibly there would be some internal vertices. So on. And these would be at least 3 bound. Each internal vertex can be connected to an external vertex by means of a graph. So this is an admissible graph, and an admissible graph will be internally connected. If it stays connected after we delete all external vertices. Connected graph. and external vertices. So it's linear combinations of such graphs. Modular relation that if we have if we permute this set of edges or the ordering of the edges, then signs are so here sigma with superscript gamma with superscript sigma will be the same graph as gamma but with the order of the edges permuted by sigma. And we just get a minus sign if the order of the permutations is okay, on ICGN we have a degree of gamma will be simply given by 1 minus the number of edges plus twice the number of internal vertices. And there will also be a differential. Given by vertex splitting. That is, if we have, say, an internal vertex, then this will be sent to two internal vertices instead of one, and we sum over all ways to reconnect the adjacent edges. Possibly with some signs, and if it was an external vertex, then this would get sent to an external and an internal vertex, and again we sum over all ways of reconnecting the edges. Okay, by choosing signs appropriately, this would be a differential, so it would square to zero, and the degree should be. Plus one. So this turns ICG N into a complex graph. And here's a little bit more structure. I want to pick now. So there are co-simplicial maps. Maps which raise the number of external vertices by one. Okay, you have one for J, zero, n plus one. And okay, delta zero stands some graph. This is our graph gamma. It's mapped to just add one more external vertex and nothing happens to our graph. And the same similarly for n plus 1. So we add the vertex as at the end. And these delta j's, they double the j's external vertex. So it produces j plus 1. Here we sum again over all possible ways of reconnecting our edges that will cry adjacent to vertex J. And an important role for us will play the following map, which is the alternating sum of all these co-simplicial maps.
such as three quiet logics in two, right?
Excuse me?
Three one quiet logics in two.
Yes, this is what the letter is.
Conscious operator.
Excuse me?
Conscious operator, yeah?
Yeah.
So that's the way to understand it, that I have to do.
Excuse me?
Besides the definition, this description, can you define it by an operatic property? These kind of things.
Yes. It's given by taking gamma and so you have the graph which has just these two.
Exactly.
And then you can. Yeah, delta J.
Yeah, it's a self complex domain of S to graph.
Okay, let's move to some applications of this graph cover. Okay, so first of all, a remark how this graph stuff relates to Anton and Charles Toisson's work. For instance, if you look at internally trivalent trees, that means no loops, modulo the IHX relation. With n external vertices, okay. Then this is isomorphic as a Lie algebra, and I will give you the Lie bracket in a second. Some special derivations in n variables. Quick reminder, and these are derivations of the free Lie algebra in n generators, and the act on generator xi. By bracket is some free Lie word UI in n variables, and the second condition we have to satisfy is that on the sum of all the generators we have to give it. And this first property is obviously extended as a derivation. And okay, let me give you the isomorphism by means of an example. For instance, this graph here. So this is my ordering of the edges. We have to send it to some triple of Lie words. And we do so by first of all setting one to be the root of a binary tree, which we obtain this way. So one, two, three. And we put it into the first slot. If there were more edges emanating from one, then we would take the sum over all the choices of roots. But for each edge, we choose it to be the root one. And if we choose two to be the root, then we get the following binary tree. And one, three. And the third one. Get one, two. And as a convention, we also choose that the root must be labeled by 1. So this would be 1, 2, 3. And before going here, we have to permute 1 and 2. So this gives us a minus sign. And this would be 2, 3. It's 1, 3, 2. And of this, we can read the Lie words given by x2. X3 minus X1, X3. And here we also have a minus sign because we permuted 1 and 3. And this will give us minus X2, X1. OK. okay, because the two comes before this. And you can check that this second relation is exactly the Jacobian identity. So this special derivation will act on x1 by means of bracketing with this bracket, so we will have x1, x2, x3, and so on. It's good for now.
Sorry, how exactly does it work if you have more than one edge connecting, say, to one?
You make one edge to be the root once, and you regard the other edge as an edge of your binary tree.
Oh, so you split
and then you sum.
So split out the two edges into one, right?
Yeah.
Like one becomes the root and the rest just goes over.
Yes, exactly.
And you distribute them over all. The rest you distribute over all the right other bits. So so one becomes the root and the others are distributed over all other white bits. So
no, they're still labeled by one.
Ah, one survives. Okay.
I might draw a graph that is zero. So if you had something like this, then this would give. So take this root, this edge here to be the root first, and then you would have something like this.
Yeah.
And then the second one and the third one. Okay,
the problem
this
with
is
this one is that it's not trivalent. But
Yes.
Why do you swap the order of the last branch in your?
Because of the ordering of the edges.
Yeah, why did you? Yeah.
The convention is to have the root being labeled by one, the edge emanating from the root labeled by one. So I have to permute these two guys first. So the edge which goes to one is labeled by three at this point. Mm-hmm. Because I swapped these two. And obviously it's the same if you swap these two again, then you get another, you get a plus sign here and you get x1, s2. That's kind of compact. And I promised you a Lie bracket because these are isomorphic as Lie algebras. And again, let me do this by means of an example. So the Lie algebra is given by identifying the corresponding external vertices, so gluing them one over the other, and then applying the differential. So gluing the external vertices together would be a graph like this. And then applying the differential, the only place where we can apply the differential is here. So we will split this vertex into an external and an internal vertex. And then we have to reconnect these graphs and keep only the trivalent trees. So this is the result. I don't know. If you want to relate this to this morning, Thomas's first lecture, he defined his versions of special derivations of and of KRV M, and he defined special derivations M as the cohomology of some associated gradient with respect to filtration given by internal loops. And actually this guy here is exactly what he told us is here a zero. So this zero here means that we're in the zeros place within this filtration. So it is all graphs which have zero loops or trees, modulo graphs which have more than one loop. So these are exactly trees. And the differential the differential D, it splits internal and external vertices. So splitting an external vertice, you might create more internal loops, and the D0 part is simply the part that does not create any internal loops. And taking this cohomology means that you're in a quotient, and okay, so being closed under this differential means that you are a trivalent tree, because splitting an external vertex produces internal loops, but splitting an internal vertex does not. And if an internal vertex gets split and goes to zero, I mean that if you're a trivalent vertex, then you're necessarily set to zero.
So this material in trivalent trees with an excellent vertices, and this IHX relation pops up exactly because of the image of this TZ of which takes a four valent vertex and specific IHX. Never mind. Okay. Yeah, that was. But I mean, that was exactly the definition that Thomas gave. So back to recalling stuff, and then it will get exciting again. So short. So when n is 2, so that was for n in general, n is 2, we have this KRV, KVD algebra, which is given by special derivations, which satisfy this equation that the divergence gets sent to trace of f of x plus where f is some power series in x. And the divergence was given by the formula K, and the trace means that we allow cyclic permutations, so these are cyclic words, and it turns out that this map here is actually the image of F under some simplicial map. And never mind this, but just kind of keep the image in mind that div of something is delta of something. That was important. This is the KV. And two remarks. It is a Lie subalgebra of special derivations. GRT1 inject into KRV. Okay, this guy here was spanned by tangential derivations of this sort. So this is a Lie word in x and y, and it satisfies some relation, this anti-symmetry hexagon and pentagon. Okay. And now maybe I want to give the definition of these Lie algebras which are supposed to sit in between these two guys. And maybe at first it might be a little bit unmotivated, but hopefully later that will become clear. And so on. The technical condition, the mu of u should be zero, but more importantly, this u should start with three part small.
Is it true that we should take the trivalent tree part of capital U and then take a class modular IHX, right? And so the U is a trivalent, one of the trivalent trees which lifts.
Yeah.
Small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that comes here should have at least one root, and the following conditions should hold. So if we apply the differential to this U, so this vertex picking, then this should be in the image of this co-simplicial map for some V that was in ICG1, so we had only one external vertex, and we split this one external vertex into two, so we land again in ICG2, and this equation here should hold modulo k plus 1 internal loops. So we throw away all graphs that have k plus 1 or more loops, and then this equation here should hold. Theorem now is that I don't know how spectacular it is. The first statement is that all these guys are subalgebras, sub Lie algebras. Special derivation. two elements in here, you satisfy this weird definition, and the bracket can be again extended to some element, which again satisfies the same condition. And GRT1 sits actually in all of them. Second statement follows relatively directly from Thomas's theorem that the Giros cohomology of GC2 is isomorphic to GRT, and then the remaining units are vectorial. So maybe let me just say what this GC2 is. And these are graphs which only have one type of vertex, and the edges are labeled from 1 to n, and again the edges are ordered, so these are connected at least diagonal. Labeled vertices, which are invariant on the action of the permutation group Sn. The edges are ordered as before, and we can ask that they are one vertex irreducible, which means that if we delete any vertex, then the graph still remains connected. And again, there's a degree, and the differential is given by this vertex degree. In his paper, he gives an explicit algorithm for the map which goes from the cohomology of PC2 to GRT. And I would use it as a blackboard, folks, because there are many things I don't know why they work. So, okay, let me tell you how it works. So we take a gamma in GC2, which is in the cohomology, so it's 0 under the differential. And as an example, we want to work out where this graph here gets sent to. So this would be a gamma. And okay, D of gamma is 0 because these are all trivalent vertices, and splitting a vertex will produce a two-valent vertex. Which we don't want.
So in H0 of GC2, everything is always trivalent, right? And
possibly because of degree reasons. I don't know.
Okay. Is this always trivalent? In the graphs that he will consider in this algorithm, are they always trivalent?
No. So one graph which lies in here is
what's extra churn?
Excuse me?
If you want to cycle, extra churn.
Okay.
Okay.
But I think, yeah. Okay. And second. So we define gamma 1 to be the graph which has, I mean, these vertices will be labeled, so we say that vertex number 1 will for now be external. One vertex in which is relative. So deleting this external vertex will still keep the graph connected. And this guy here will lie in ICD2. So let's apply this delta map and we basically receive obtain graphs of the following form. So there is always a gamma 2 such that the equation there is satisfied. If I may, we'll continue here. That this gamma 2 is symmetric on the interchange of 1 and 2. And so the fifth step is to forget the non-internally trivalent 3 part. Binary tree in x and y, or 1 and 2 in x and y, and that will give you a Lie series or Lie words, and then you can do it again, but with edges emanating from 2. That will give you a Lie series in x and y, and that will be an element of GRT. Okay, so some procedure. Again, just like choosing edges emanating from an external vertex to be the roots of a binary tree, that will give you Lie series, and this will be the element of GR out of T2. But the upshot is that So as this is an isomorphism, whenever we have an element of GRT, there exists a unique tree, so a unique element in special derivation, which can be extended to some gamma 2, which satisfies exactly this equation here in all for all loop orders, okay? And so there is no restriction more to k plus 1 loop or something, so this means that GRT sits inside all of these weird KRD2 act opposite.
Thanks again.